Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us right now, former coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, the Nets. He was an assistant with the Lakers from 19 to 21. He's got a championship ring with the Portland Trailblazers back in the mid-70s. Lionel Hollins. Lionel, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, man.
No, it's my pleasure.
Let me start out with a little Warrior question for you. The Warriors, they beat Denver in the first round. Denver had a great player, Nikola Jokic. They beat Memphis in the second round with Ja Morant. Now they go up against Luka Doncic. Can you kind of give us a little thumbnail of how you'd go about maybe defending Doncic with a comparison being the first two superstars they've played in this postseason?
Well, I don't think there's really a comparison. Luka Doncic is different than Jokic. He's a guard. He's 6'7", 6'8". Weighs about 230, 240. There's not a lot of small guys that can guard him, so you have to have somebody that has size and quickness and some girth to be able to deal with him. As you saw in the Phoenix series, they were switching Chris Paul onto him, Devin Booker, they were switching Aiden, and none of those guys could guard him. He's a handful, and he's turned into a great player, especially when he attacks the basket. And that's where, you know, he hurt the Suns. He just drove to the basket and nobody could stop him rather than settling all the time for the deep shots. But he's, you know, so different from Ja Morant and so different from Jokic, both very good players in their own right. It'll be interesting to see how the Warriors match up will be my question.
Lionel, speaking of difference, I was telling my partner, and I mean this, I watch all these teams play basketball, and I watch the Warriors with the back cuts, the ball movement, the motion offense, and it just looks different. And I always ask them, like, why don't we see other teams try to implement this style of basketball? When I ask you why we don't see more teams trying to duplicate that, what would your answer be?
Well, the reason is they see the forest, but not the trees. They see the threes. And the great shooting by Clay and Poole and Wiggins and Curry, but they don't see the throwing the ball into the post and splitting and going backdoor and you're being overplayed just going backdoor. And the great passing and the great high basketball IQ that the Warriors have, teams don't see that. When a team goes to play against the Warriors, they want to match them three for three. And while they're shooting threes, the Warriors are getting layups and dunks. And then the Warriors will turn it on, and you'll fall off and not want to cover them. You stack the basket, and next thing you know, they're shooting threes. I mean, if you look at the Grizzlies series, the Grizzlies had two games that they really had won. They just didn't finish the games, and the Warriors just kept playing, kept cutting, kept getting layups. And then all of a sudden, one of the big shooters got hot, and then two got hot, and next thing you know, it's a blowout win for the Warriors.
Lionel Hollins joining us on 95.7 The Game. Lionel, let me ask you this, because you were worked alongside Jason Kidd for a couple years, very recently, 19 to 21. You know, it's this league is so, I don't know, fickle, if that's the right word. This guy wasn't talked about as a great coach, and now he gets the job in Dallas, and he turns around a team that Rick Carlisle had. What are we missing about the job that Jason Kidd's doing in Dallas, and kind of the perception maybe that people had before he had this kind of success in Dallas?
Well, I think when Jason went straight from playing to coaching, I think that was a knock on him that he didn't have the experience and he didn't have the X's and O's. But Jason was a Hall of Fame, a top 75 player. And he understands the game offensively and defensively and where people need to be effective and all of those things. I think what people are missing is that he knows the game from a coach's perspective better than people give him credit for. They know he was a great player. But I think the thing that he's done here with Dallas is he's gotten buy-in from Doncic to put more effort in defense, be where he's supposed to be, and make the effort to get where he's supposed to be. And then, you know, he sold Doncic on sharing the ball with other people. I know he's had some big games, but Doncic has really torn teams apart with his passing. And the ultimate thing that he's done is they are a good defensive team.
Yeah.
I was just talking to another coach in the NBA earlier regarding how they played the pick and roll and how they just took the Suns out of the pick and roll game that Chris Paul dominating teams down the stretch and winning games. He couldn't do it. People want to blame his age. People want to blame that he's hurt. But I think the Dallas defense had a lot to do with it. They had a lot to do with Devin Booker not being as effective as he normally is.
Len, I want to ask you, because not only did you coach, you played the game, and now we have social media, and you brought up Chris Paul, and we all saw what that was Sunday night, or at least I did with my phone in my hand. You know, it's just these players are scrutinized, so are the coaches. But when you look at the situation with Russell Westbrook, I just want to ask you this, because I believe he's one of the most gifted athletically basketball players we've ever seen. Now, on social media and everywhere you look, it's almost like he's become a joke. And I'm wondering, you being the former coach and player, is it all just his fault? Like, how would you fix Westbrook?
Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of talented players in the league that are individually, statistically successful. When it comes to winning, it takes another level of IQ, sacrifice, toughness, and togetherness. And players, when they go through their career, you look at Carmelo Anthony, who was a star for a number of years, and then he got in a couple of situations and it didn't work out, and then they were saying he couldn't play in the league anymore. But what had to happen was he had to make a sacrifice and give up his old game and play a new game to stay in the league. He wasn't going to be the man anymore. And sometimes players have a hard time playing in different systems that don't cater to them. You know, it's not Russell's fault, but the Lakers already had won a championship with AD and LeBron. And LeBron is one of the greatest players. He's a ball-dominant, pseudo point guard, and he makes plays for everybody. He's done it his whole career. He has four championships. So on one hand, Westbrook had to make a sacrifice. On the other hand, the team had to make a sacrifice. I mean, if you're going to give Westbrook the ball, you can't have AD in the game and throwing the ball to AD. And if LeBron's in the game, you can't expect LeBron to just give the ball over to Westbrook. And Westbrook had to make a sacrifice. And I think he tried to make a sacrifice, but I think these guys, their backgrounds and the chips that they have on the shoulder and the things that get them to where they are, mm-hmm. sometimes is a curse. Later on in their career, they lose some of their athleticism and some of their ability to do the things that they did when they were younger. And then also injuries are involved. And it's tough to back down and say, okay, I'm not the same player I was before. We're seeing it with James Harden. We're seeing it with CP3. I mean, they're still good players, but you can't be the man your whole career. There's only a couple of wow. people that have gone through their whole career and retired as the man, but you know, it'd be hard-pressed to name one off the top of my head, including Larry Bird,
yeah.
who was a great player. But at the end, he was struggling to stay on the court with back injuries. And Kevin McHale had to take over the team
yeah.
and be the man. So it's just a part of your journey. You go from unsung or highly thought-of rookie to star to superstar. And then all of a sudden you go for a while, and people think it's going to last forever, but you only have a certain amount of time to be on that level, and then it starts flattening out, and then it starts descending. some people are able to back up and say, hey, you take the reins and I'll help you. I think about Jason Kidd, who we were just talking about. Jason Kidd was playing like a power forward on the Dallas Mavericks when they won the championship, standing in the corner making threes. But he still was a good playmaker. He just wasn't the playmaker.
Yeah, that's a good point. Lionel Hollins joining us on 95.7 The Game. Lionel, I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania, which is a little bit outside Philadelphia. And I've always kind of wanted to ask you this. You know, back in 77, people might not remember, you know, the Sixers were the ultimate group of individuals, of stars, McGinnis and Irving and Dawkins. And you came in with Portland and Bill Walton and what was considered then a bunch of no-names. You got down 2-0 in that series and then won the next four games. What happened in that series where you guys must have realized we can beat these guys? What do you remember about that series? Because it was one of the quintessential series that I remember of why a team beats individuals.
Well, we were a team through and through. We were committed to each other, committed to how we played, and we played. We were the Warriors. We played the same way, up, down, first quarter, fourth quarter, subbed in with a blowout. We played the same way. The first thing is we beat the Sixers, I think the fourth or fifth game of the season, by 40-something points in Portland. We knew we could beat them. When we got to the finals, we had a long layover after sweeping the Lakers, and we lost a little bit of our rhythm, and it was a lot of anxiety. We were the youngest team in basketball history, NBA history, to win an NBA championship. That's why we were no names. You guys in the media do a great job identifying who have already done something and they're probably going to do it again. But it's hard to identify who hasn't done it and who's going to do it. And that's what happened. The Sixers were the traveling circus. I mean, the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. I mean, everywhere they went, they drew crowds. They were like the rock stars, Mick Jagger and his group. But on the court, we took advantage of them with our motion offense, moving, cutting, screening. We took advantage of some guys that weren't great defenders. We had a lot of back doors. We had a lot of layups. And then they took turns scoring.
Yep.
Collins, Julius, McGinnis, World Be Free. They had a lot of guys now, but we had a better team. And I think if you talk to Doc, who I later on played with, he'd admit that they were the more talented team player by player. But as a group, we were a better team, and the better team won.
Lionel, that's awesome. I got to ask you this one. Tomorrow, Dallas and the Warriors start game one. And I got to be honest, there may be 100 combined 3-point attempts. I tell my partner, I miss the big man. I miss the mid-range. We got DeRozan, but I miss it. When you watch today's NBA, do you think about that, or have you moved on and this is what it is? Quit complaining.
Well, I think that you're seeing a trend shifting back to mid-range games. Chris Paul is the master mid-range player. You saw in the Dallas series what was going on there.
Yeah, Brunson.
Luka Doncic was playing in the post and in the mid-range.
Yeah.
You know, he shot some threes, and the spacing was for threes, but the man who was doing all the scoring and all of the assisting was playing in the mid-range. When LeBron gets to the paint, when AD gets to the paint or gets around the free throw line, that's the mid-range. Kawhi Leonard, mid-range player. I mean, there's a lot of if you just rely on one thing, when that thing is off, you hear players after game, it's a make-or-miss league. It's only a make-or-miss league if you only play one way. But if you're missing and you start getting to the free throw line and making jumpers, you get to the basket or you get to the foul line and get free throws, then it doesn't become a make-or-miss league. You can miss all your outside shots, but still get to the mid-range and make shots. I think that, you know, we're enamored with the three. It's like the home run in baseball. You know, everybody wants to see the 80-yard pass touchdown, not the 3 yards in a cloud of dust in football. It's just the mentality of the fan today wants to see the things that they consider exciting, dunking, shooting threes. I'm always amazed when a guy goes on a breakaway and he does a 360. Oh, what a great dunk. Everybody in the NBA can do that dunk. But let me see him go in there with three or four people hanging off of him, like Giannis does and like LeBron does, and show me dunks then.
Yeah. Hey, Lionel, who do you think? You got four teams left. If I ask you to make a prediction, what do you think?
Well, I tell you what, Boston is looking good. Miami looks good. Dallas looks good. Golden State looks good. So it's going to be one of those four teams.
There it is.
All right. We'll let you get out of here on that one.
I'm just kidding. It's going to come down to injuries and whose role players are playing at a high level.
Fair enough. Hey, Lionel, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Enjoy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!